A lot of times I'll go back and listen to what I taught the week before, but they've been kind of getting there a little later, so I haven't had that opportunity to listen to see what was there yet, so on the podcasts. So, you know, if I repeat myself, forgive me. And I'm clueless as to where I left off because I don't follow my notes very well. But God, amen, we're trusting Him even tonight that He will bring out what He desires to come forth. Amen, what we need to see. I do know that I had Matthew 14:34 kind of written down as my last verse, I thought, where we ended off, where He fed the 5,000 and plus the women and children. And the whole thing there was that He healed them. He fed them because He had a heart of compassion on them. Is He the same today? Does He move with compassion today? Is His heart towards you today? It's not a heart of pity. It's a heart of compassion. And the difference between pity and compassion is compassion does something. Amen. It doesn't just sit idle. But then we talked about, where were we? Matthew 14, right at the end of that chapter. And it just left off there that He crossed over from Gennesaret. I believe we talked about that. Didn't we talk about the going over the river, over the ocean, or what, the Sea of Galilee, whatever the water was. And the thing is there that after all of these miraculous healings, then word goes out about Him. Amen. And it ought to. Amen. Don't you think that testimony of healing should go out from this place, out from where you live, and things are happening by you, and that people are alerted? And that's what it said took place in verse 35. And the men that recognized Him were alerted that the whole vicinity, they brought to Him all who were sick, and they were begging Him that He might only touch the tassel on His robe, and as many as touched Him were made perfectly well. Well, that sounds real familiar, right? Doesn't it sound like the woman with the issue of blood? Where did she get it, you know? I mean, you look back in Mark 3, and it said all that had diseases were pressing in towards Him. She had heard that. And then in her testimony, we read in one scripture, it says she kept saying in herself, if I but touch the hem of His garment, I shall be made whole. Amen. So there was an act of faith that was taking place there. She was motivated because what she saw and what she heard about Jesus, it motivated her to press in with every bit of energy and strength that she had left in her body to pursue Jesus, to pursue after truth, to pursue after life, not being distracted by 101 distractions that were round about her. Amen. Because there were, right? A weakened body, that would distract you, wouldn't it? Ugh. Man, you're so tired. What? Ever been there? And your body's just yelling at you? Just forget it. Just lay down. But you know, I need to get in the Word. I need to hear this. I need to whatever. However He's directing you, there's a prompting in your spirit towards the Spirit of God, towards the things of the Spirit. Why? Because there's truth there and truth sets you free. And God is going to direct us into truth. He's going to direct us into righteousness so that we can see and we can know and we can be free. Amen. So, you know, sometimes when you're tired and you just don't feel like it, don't push past that. I mean, don't lay down to that, but push past the tiredness and go where God leads you. Amen. Sometimes we have it in our head that, well, I'm going to have to sit here all night long. Not necessarily. You're led by the Spirit of God. He might lead you to one scripture and you're stuck on that scripture. Have you ever been there? You just read it and you reread it and you reread it and you're getting something out of that one scripture. Amen. Why? Because he has you parked on it because that is for you for that day and for that hour. Amen. Aren't you glad that he's a personal God? He knows you intimately. He knows where you need tweaking. He knows what you need imparted. He knows what truth you need to hear. And he's going to lead you and direct you. But if you slough it off and, oh, I just don't feel like it right now, you're losing an opportunity to meet with God. God and his word are one. Amen? We can't separate God from his word. And we need to value this, that when we open it up, we're meeting with God Almighty. Amen? It's not just ink and paper. It's the word of the living God given to us that we can partake of it. That we can have it, that we can walk in revelation, that we can walk in truth and light. And God is so gracious to us, but so many times we devalue what he's doing, and we can't do that. If he's prompting you to get into the word, then you go sit in the word. You grab hold of it.
In Andrew Womack's book, A Better Way to Pray, he's describing prayer in a different way than we think. He said his communion with God occurs throughout the entire day. He said one of the best times that he prays is he reads the Bible. He said his communication with God while he's reading the Bible is closer. He said to him, there's no difference between reading the Bible and praying if he's communing with God while he's doing it. Some people think, well, you read the Bible and then you pray. And he says, no, I am praying while I'm reading the Bible if I'm communing with God and saying, God, show me this, and oh, I see that, and then he shows you something else. He said, what do you think prayer is? A lot of people, they don't like to pray, but they don't mind reading the Bible. Once you discover that reading the Bible is a type of prayer, that you might just kick it up a notch there and say, well, I'm going to pray now, and you grab your Bible and head off somewhere.
That's good. Amen. 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 There should be an expectation. I think we need to raise our expectation to a higher level, that when you go to the Word, you are communing with God Almighty. And that's what it's all about. And that he is desiring to speak to you. Anybody ever go to the Word and say, I never hear from God. I don't know how Pastor Gary gets this all out of the Word. I never hear from God. I remember years ago when I was first saved, I would marvel at different people that would just grab hold and get all this revelation out of the Word of God, and I think, where'd they get that? and I would just kind of feel less than. But what I didn't have an expectation. Amen. We need to have an expectation that God is speaking to me. Amen. That he is imparting to you, that he is revealing himself and his word to you. Amen. Whether it's through this word here, sitting down by yourself with God, or through when Pastor Gary brings a message on Sunday, or through the worship team as we're, amen, or in conversation with a friend about the things of God, that God can speak to you. Amen. On all these different levels. But there should be an expectation. God can speak to you through a semi driving past you. Amen. The billboard on the side of the semi, it can have a message for you from God. Amen? God can speak to you through nature, through flowers, through plants and animals. He can speak to us and reveal himself and his purposes through it if we have an expectation of those things. So we need to heighten our expectation that God is going to speak to us all day long. Amen? So he's an awesome God, and he is going to do that. Well, don't even know where we went. Let's look at Matthew 15. Matthew 15. And we're going to start in 21. It says, when Jesus left there, he withdrew to the area of Tyre and Sidon. Just then, a Canaanite, some scriptures say Syrophoenician woman, came to the region and kept crying out, have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. This woman's heart was calling out for mercy, calling out for something she knew she didn't deserve, but she knew God had. And she was calling out for mercy. She was calling out for the compassion and the mercy of God. God, I'm in a desperate situation, and I need your mercy. Usually, when you call out for mercy, you know you don't deserve. Amen. That you've opened the door somewhere along the way, that in this particularly deals with a lot of people that have had diseases and different things that they've brought upon themselves through drug abuse, through alcohol, through sexual promiscuity, through there's a whole variety of diseases and things through smoking, amen, through drug use. There can be some mental breaks and emotional breaks, right? And the thing that the devil loves to do when people get in one of those situations is try to convince you that you're not worthy to receive. And whether it's you or if you're dealing with a friend or family member who has an issue like this, you are never going to be worthy to receive. Hallelujah. Because it doesn't come in on our merit. Right? You can go to church 7 days a week. You can read your Bible 3 hours a day. Right? You can give till you have nothing left to give. You can work as hard as you can to serve in the church. None of those things are going to make you more worthy to receive from God than a sinner on the street. Because it's not based on our worth. Amen. We're worthy by one thing alone. One thing. And that's the blood of Jesus. Amen. He's washed us and cleansed us. And if we're trying to polish ourselves up enough to seem clean and holy enough for God to all of a sudden give us what we have need of, we're going to be working every day of our life trying to be good enough, trying to be perfect enough, trying to, God, please, now am I good enough? And yet most people don't say that. They don't think that logically out, but if you're always striving to be good enough for God to accept you, if that's your underlying thinking, there's a problem there. Give it up. And I don't mean sloppy grace and just live whatever way because God's a God of mercy and a God of grace. If we love God, we're moving towards God, right? Right? We desire to live a holy life. Right? Right? then we're going to be pursuing Him, not to make ourselves acceptable to Him, but because we want to be like Him. We want to conform to His image, right? We want to please Him. We desire to know Him, right? The motivation is because we love Him, not because we're trying to get good enough for Him to accept us. We are accepted in the Beloved. Amen. And this doesn't just have to do with sin, sickness, and disease. It can even little things you get, like you got in a fight with your wife or your husband just before service, and God's moving, and all of a sudden you have it in your heart to, I need to go for prayer. Oh, I just got in a fight. I can't do that. Anybody pull back ever because you messed up? That's a trick of the enemy. He you know, keep you from what God has for you. Because I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy enough. We need to know this, that the mercy of God is new every morning. It never fades away. It never runs out. They're new every single morning. Amen. God's mercy is amazing. Amen. Do we deserve it? That's a trick question, isn't it? We deserve it because He's given it. We don't deserve it because we've earned it. Amen? Amen. But we need to accept it. We need to humbly recognize that it's because of His goodness, because of His heart of compassion, that when we're undeserving, when we're unfaithful, He proves faithful. That He proves, He pours out His goodness and His mercy to us. Always. I don't know about you, but that thrills my heart. Amen. Because I grew up in a family where you earned everything. And you rarely achieved. Why? Because of the thinking. So, what are we talking about here? She is a woman of great faith. And she's calling out, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is cruelly tormented by a demon." Now, there can be demonic manifestations where it's mental oppression, emotional disturbance, physical ailments. And she was tormented. I think it was Marianne that was telling me about this little girl that was tormented just recently. She slams her head on the wall every night, disturbing the whole apartment complex, having cops called, tormented. Can you imagine? There's people that are tormented all the time. Tormented. The enemy, and don't give him an inch. Don't accept a little bit of a headache. Oh, it's just a headache. Get mad. There's a righteous indignation. Just let it rise up and say, "No, I'm not putting up with that either." Amen. Because you give in to that, and next thing you know, something else is coming along. Just put your foot down and say, "I am not accepting that. This is a healed body. Healed bodies aren't in pain. Healed bodies don't have headaches." Amen. Healed bodies don't do these things. If we're healed by the stripes of Jesus, then we're healed. And if my body is healed, then what? How much stuff should I put up with? Nothing. Something creeps in there, jump on it with both feet. Get mad. Have a fit. It's okay. Amen. Direct it in the right direction. Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is cruelly tormented by a demon. Yet he did not say a word to her. So his disciples approached him and urged him, send her away because she cries out after us. Sounds a little religious, huh? She's making a scene. We don't want a scene. Send her away. And he replied, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. There is a time and a place for his ministry. But she came. She came. She knelt before him and said, Lord, help me. She worshiped him right there. She came and knelt before God. She knew she had need. She was crying out for his mercy, and she humbled herself before the Lord. Sometimes we need to take the time to just humble ourselves before God. Pour our heart out to him. Whether it's for healing or direction or whatever, we need to just yield in God. Get before him. When we're to a place where we think we got it all and we know it all, and then we've just cut ourselves off from receiving any more. But when we humble ourselves, we open ourselves up for more from God. Amen? We recognize it's all from him. And she was doing that. She was worshiping and humbling herself at the feet of Jesus. His response to her was, it isn't right to take the children's bread and throw it to their dogs. Ooh, slap in the face. At that point, the Jews, the bread, the truth, the life, was given to the Jews, not for them only, but they were to take what they had and present it to the world. But they became religious. Hallelujah. Do you hate religion? I'm telling you what, Jesus hates religion. He's always been after relationship. And religion bogs things down. It pulls from what it's all about. That throne room is now open. We have access where we can come boldly. We can come right into the presence of God. Amen. At any time. Come boldly, he says, to the throne of grace in time of need, in time of trouble. Aren't you glad we're in New Testament days and that the way's been open, that veil was torn, his flesh was torn, so now we can go right into the Holy of Holies? Old Testament days, it was locked up in this little precious space. Amen. And it was guarded, and only one could go in once a year to make atonement for the people. And now that we can go in, a lot of times we're real flippant about it. We're not even thinking about God. I'm meeting with you. We just jump in and do our business and run out and haven't really even become aware that it's God we're talking to, that it's the Holy One, that it's the Creator. It's the one that's all-powerful. It's the one that's all-knowing, that he's got the answer to every question we ever have had or ever will have, the one that is directing our path and leading us, that he's our help. He's our strength and our peace. He's our all in all. And we just, okay, God, I need this and that and the other, and I'm off and doing my thing. We need to recognize who he is. Amen. And take that time to give him that place. Amen. Because now we can come in, and we need to understand it still is that holy place. That they were in fear and dread, that if they come in the presence of God unclean, they're dead. Well, thank God we're cleansed by the blood. Amen? But we need to keep that perspective of what we're doing. We're still meeting with that Holy One. Amen. Amen. We got to tweak our little brains a little bit here. And the bread, we've talked about that bread being set on the banquet table that's in the presence of our enemies. That's when we need it while we're here on this earth. There are no enemies in heaven. So we talk about that in Psalm 23, verse 27. Yes, Lord, she said, yet even the dogs, I don't deserve it, but even the dogs that eat the crumbs from under the table that fall off the master's table, they can partake of those crumbs. They can have a bite too. And Jesus replied to her, woman, your faith is great. Let it be done to you as you want. And from that moment, her daughter was cured. What was the great faith there? She wasn't going to be denied. It didn't matter what was coming against her. She wanted what he had. And that was healing for her daughter. And that no matter what the disciples said, no matter that she was ignored to begin with, no matter what was said or done, she didn't take offense. She didn't feel like she deserved it from beginning. And she called out for the mercy of God. And she wasn't going to be denied that mercy. Great faith. A lot of times we get our nose a little bent out of shape. Somebody said or did something that wasn't quite right. And boy, we cut off everything. Well, forget you then. Forget you. And you start walking away from what was yours. Amen or oh me. Amen. If there's body ministry in this day and this hour, is that right? Every believer, every member, there's the Spirit of God in us. There's an anointing within us, an anointing that comes upon us to do whatever God has called us to do, every believer. Then if I get offended at somebody, how do I know that God might have something in them to bring light to me? Amen. You ever been stunned by somebody that got up in church and said something so profound, it's like, wow, I didn't know they had that in them. When we were in lab class at Rhema, there was a young man. I didn't know him at all. But, I was a lot younger then, and there was a tendency in me to judge the book by the cover. And I did. But when he got up to preach, first time I really heard, I was just looking at the outside appearance. I had no idea the wealth that was in this man. Seriously. He was about this tall. He was Hawaiian. He was about this wide. And he didn't have any fantastic personality that I saw. Kind of quiet. So I'm looking at the cover and thinking, okay, what's he got? You know, a lot of times people come to church, what's he got? Well, it's not he, it's him. What's he got? And we can get our eyes right here, we limit sometimes. But when he opened his mouth, there was a wealth that came out that imparted some awesome truths. So we need to be careful not to take offense from one another and to keep the doors open to one another, because you might have something for someone. Not to go preaching at them. You know what I'm saying? But sometimes just in our normal conversation, there's answers that come forth. Amen? There's light. There's truth that comes forth. Why? Because if we're moving in the Holy Spirit, and we are, right? He indwells us. He's directing us. He's going to bring you into a place where you are being used of God, and a lot of times you don't even know it. You ever get a card from somebody? Thank you or something? Says, that just helped me so much. You think, what'd I say? What'd I do? And it just kind of dumbfounds you because you had not a clue. I think a lot of us are used a whole lot more than we ever imagine. But we need to be careful giving and receiving, that we don't cut anything off from anyone. Did you have something? Okay. There's that little man. Did you want to share that?
My back had been out at school, and it was frustrating. I was getting...
Can you hear?
I was getting... what are those shots called?
Cortisone
shots in the back. Going to the chiropractor, nothing was helping. I went to Billy Joe Doherty's church and was up there in the balcony. Nobody was around. I was kind of sitting by myself. There's maybe 1,000 people in the church. And where we were, you could sit maybe about 5,000. So he said, anybody have any, I don't know, medical problems or issues and want healing, just raise your hand. And so I raised my hand. And then he says, okay, I want all of you to see those raised hands. Anybody near that raised hands, go over and lay hands on them. Well, there was nobody around me. And I looked back a ways down the row behind me, and there's this young, skinny, high school-like kid with a face full of pimples. Like, I thought, oh, my. And he comes towards me, just a skinny runt, and he plops his hand on my shoulder like a limp, wet fish, like that. And the power of God shot through me. It felt like two fists reached in and grabbed my spine, and my spine just popped up and down when the kid touched me. It went like that, and it was like, wow. I mean, I didn't move. I didn't do anything. My spine just snapped all the way up. And, you know, after he called for testimonies afterwards, and I went down front and shared with, I didn't say the skinny kid with a pimply face and that, you know. But my anticipation was, oh, great. This skinny little kid coming down to lay hands on me, a Bible school student, much older than him, much smarter than him, you know. And I got my miracle that day. But who'd have thought, as he's approaching me, that the power of God was going to... I mean, I don't know where the faith came from, because it didn't appear to be inside of me. I was just trying to be nice and let him lay his hand on me because that'd be appropriate. You got to be nice. But the miracle happened so fast, it just shot through me. So that was a similar case of judging by the outside cover. As that kid approached me, he was obeying God. They said, go to the guy with the hands in the air. So he did it. And that was a huge lesson in my life. Of course, I was younger too. We were Bible school students at the time and learning, but that was I'd say probably at least half the lessons we learned were not in class. It was like incidents like that. I don't even know what his name is. I'll meet him in heaven, but yeah, that was a wonderful, wonderful day.
Amen. Amen. Aren't you glad God is who he is? That he is a God of mercy and compassion and wisdom, and that he can put this whole thing together. I'm so glad. So glad. But he said, woman, your faith is great. Let it be done to you as you want. Great faith. And that persevering when things feel like they're against you, when it feels like that woman with the issue of blood, it was the same thing. There's that spirit that's got to rise up on the inside of us, that despite the pain, despite the discomfort, despite the tiredness or the things that are pulling on us, despite it all, I don't care what's going on. I know God said it. I know his word is true. And I'm going to have what God says. Amen. And you're going to push past. That's what that woman did. I don't care if fences come. I don't care if I'm ignored. I don't care if you didn't, acknowledge me. Right? Anybody ever get offended at any of those things? We can't do that. We got to just let go. Just, okay. I'm not going to be denied, because some of those things can keep you from your healing. Not just that somebody's got something to give to you, that there might be a flow there, but if you take somebody that's totally not even involved in this arena of healing, but you're sitting over here and somebody offends you, then what do you got going on the inside of you? Beloved, I pray above all things that you prosper and be in health. What's the condition? Even as your what? Your soul is your what? Mind, your emotions, it's your intellect, it's who you are, it's your personality, it's what makes you different from me. It's how God puts you together. It's not your spirit. It's not your flesh body. It's what makes you you. But if your soul is not prospering, it's going to hinder you. Why? Once again, toxins are being released in our body when we're angry, when we're frustrated, when we're offended, when we take offense at things. What happens? Have you ever physically been offended and there's physical symptoms in your body that crop up? What happens to your body? You feel sick, nauseous, tense, you tighten up, achy. You start reacting in your flesh, and then things are released in your body, and then they take place to destroy your own body. Self-destruct. We're pushing the button to self-destruct. No wonder the word says, do not let the sun go down on your anger. Where it tells us that husbands and wife deal with it. Don't take it to bed. Don't ignore it. Don't go for days and weeks and months and not talk to each other. Push it under the bed and hope it goes away. Because if it's in here, it's not going to go away. It's doing something. It's stirring up. We got to come to a place where we forgive, we let go, we love, we embrace. You might look at him and think, but you're going to have to take that and say, okay, God, you're greater than what I see. You can do all things. You can change the hardest heart. You can. Some of us are trying to be the Holy Spirit with our spouse or with our children or with those that we live with. Try to make them conform because we know something. We got it. We got the answers. Can't you see it? And we try to make them see what we see. And you know what we got to do? Okay, God, I'm trusting you. Two words have saved me in life over and over again in relationships. But God. Something slap you upside the face, and what do you say? But God. God can change this. God can make this stand. God can work this out. God can have his way. God can be glorified. Might not look like it in the natural, but we have to look past the natural. But God, he's greater. But if we take all those things and we're just living where we're angry all the time, we're frustrated with our spouse, we're frustrated with our kids, we don't like our boss, and we're taking work home, we're taking all this stuff, our sister or brother has just been offensive and just been an idiot. How can they act like that? And then we're living that, we're killing ourselves. We don't even realize it. This lady wasn't going to let anything stop her. And we got to recognize, just like we need to begin to elevate God to the higher place, that when we enter into his presence, we're going to meet with God. It's not a trip through the tulips. Amen. It's God Almighty. It's the Holy One. We need to become. We need to make ourselves aware in the same light that we need to elevate God in the midst of things. We need to deal with some of the stuff around us. Take it seriously for what it is. The enemy wants to take you out. And every time we're presented with something feels like sandpaper, what does sandpaper eventually do? Smooths things, takes off the rough edges. Yeah, but I don't need it. They do. Hallelujah. Every opportunity to walk in forgiveness and mercy towards someone else is an opportunity for growth in your life. And some of the roughest times you face are when you decide, I am not going to take offense here. I'm going to walk in love. I'm going to be sweet. Regardless of what they've done to you, regardless of what should happen to them, because we really don't want those things to happen. We want God's mercy to be seen, right? I mean, your mind can run ahead and say, and you're going to have to back up and say, God, forgive me for that. I give them to you. You deal with them. Because people don't change with our anger. People don't change when we show them frustration. Love changes. The only thing that changes is love. And God can melt the hardest heart. There's some things only God can do, and we have to realize that even if you're not seeing it, if it's not transforming in front of your face, given time, God can work things out. He can turn things around. And that's where faith comes in. Darn, another faith endeavor. It's all faith. Every aspect of our life is faith. We don't want to just go by the natural. We want to lift it to a higher place where God gets involved and he can do a work. But this lady, she wasn't going to be denied. That's where her great faith. I mean, there's only a few people that Jesus commented on their faith. And sad to say, they weren't the Jews. They were the foreigners. They were the centurions. There was this Syrophoenician woman. I'm not going to be denied. Yep. I'm going to stay sweet. I'm going to walk in love. I'm going to do what's right. Not to earn it, but because I want to be one with him. And I don't want those stuff getting in the way and crowding him out to where it's all flesh and emotions going on here. There's no room for God. Because it can bubble up in a hurry. You start giving place to some of that stuff, and it's just like you're almost out of control because you've given place. And one thought will lead to the next. You know, it might be just one little thing. Next thing you know, in your mind, this thing's blown up, and you might as well just quit and go home. Just forget this thing. It can just grow. And we think that's what the devil wants? Steal, kill, and destroy. And sad to say, when we give in to stuff like that, he's not having to do a whole lot of work. We do it ourselves. Keep us out from the fullness of what God has for us. Whether it be healing, promotion, favor, we do it to ourselves. So we have to guard our hearts. We have to focus on him and apply these things as God reveals it. Little by little, he'll bring to light what we need to see. And it's not like we got to go around taking and shining a light, inspecting every little issue in our mind and our heart. Because then you get over into works. Well, if this isn't good enough, then I need to do this, and I need to do that, and I need to... No, as God brings light, as he sheds light, there's grace for it, and you just walk into it. You don't have to inspect. He reveals. Aren't you glad? Not like the Gestapo. Amen. Is it making sense? Do you have anything to add? Because I think we're probably at a stopping point right here.
She didn't deny that she was a dog. Basically, she said, you're right. We do live like dogs. Our people live like dogs. You're right. That was a point of humility where she admitted that if she started to defend herself, she would have lost the healing for her daughter. Instead, she just simply said, you're right, you're right. And I think that would put her over. Humility always. You humble yourselves and God will lift you up. And for her to admit that that's the way her people live And they did. They were horrible. They were horrible people. But for her to admit it opened that door and opened it wide. I think Keith Moore helped me one time when he said, you need to stand up, throw your arms up in the air and say, guilty, sir. And move to that quickly. And when you are guilty, admit your guilt. It's as an act of humility. So that's about it.
God is.
Even though that's the way they were, she still got healed. Because she admitted, yeah, I've totally blown it. God won't heal me now, right? I've totally blown it. I've lived an awful life. God won't heal me now. If you admit, I've lived an awful life. God, forgive me. I repent. That's the way I was. That's true humility is an avenue, a doorway that we need to be as honest as she was and agreed with Jesus.
Yeah. I remember.
Just the very name itself is a sign. Just the very name itself, Jesus, means Savior, salvation, deliverer. And those who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And that name is Savior, Deliverer. So you are humbled when you're saved. You're acknowledging you can't do it. You're in need of somebody. And that's an acknowledgement. That's humility right there. Just the fact that it's not all about you. It's about God. And calling upon his name, you will be saved. Yeah. It's an act of humility.
I remember at one point in our lives when we first came into the healing message. This was even before Bible school, I think. We recognized that if we got in strife, Pastor Gary and I got in any kind of strife, it seemed like it opened the door for the enemy and our children would be attacked. They would get physically sick. And just time and time again, it just opened the door to the enemy. I mean, we don't realize what we talked a lot about, what it does to us physically and emotionally and how, you know, personally. But yet, as parents, it opened a door for the enemy to attack our kids. Strife is a huge door that he can drive a semi through and just dump a load of garbage at your doorstep. You just don't want that. So, amen. Once we saw it, we dealt with it. And it took a little bit for us to see it before we recognized what was going on here. We can't afford strife. And we can't afford it. It's affecting our family. We can't afford it. And we dealt with it then. But it took a little while. So, hallelujah.
Ending soon, but there will be differences in relationships. That is not the same as strife. Just because there's differences. Strife is when you allow those differences to be taken to another level. I accept the fact that we're different and we have different ideas about a lot of stuff, but it never has to move to strife. We can simply admit we got two different ideas on this.
Yep.
That's not strife.
Agree to disagree.
Right. It's like chocolate vanilla, you know. Sometimes you're both right. Strife is when you try to enforce your side on the other person. That is never going to work. So as long, you know, that's how you stay out of strife. You don't push your idea and make it their idea. You acknowledge that they have a different idea, a different way of thinking. You resolve conflict. Conflict is not strife either. Conflict is when you're trying to negotiate and and compromise and such. But strife is at the level of destruction when you try to exert your will onto another person. God doesn't even do that, ever. So.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for the one you sent on our behalf. Jesus, you're so wonderful, so precious. We just thank you for giving your all, that we could walk in newness of life, that we can be free from sin, that we don't have to earn anything, we just receive your grace. Your mercy, your goodness. We thank you. Thank you, Lord, for washing us white as snow. That we're clean, we're pure, we're holy in your sight. That you see us as precious. Oh, we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your precious Holy Spirit that you've set on the inside of us to indwell and to direct and to help, guide, to comfort, to strengthen, to impart, to bring wisdom, to anoint. We thank you for it, Lord. Not left us like orphans, but you've given us your best. So we thank you for that. We thank you for opportunity to involve ourselves in your word. God, reveal to us individually and to this body corporately what we need to see about you so that we can walk in the fullness. Open the eyes of our understanding that we would know the hope of our calling in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you for it. Thank you for your precious Holy Spirit. Thank you for the life-giving Spirit, that resurrection power that dwells on the inside of us. And right now we look to you and we look to that life-giving Spirit to just flow through our bodies right now to strengthen every part that has need of it. To drive any sickness or disease, any impurities, any viruses, bacteria, any cancer cells, drive them far from us. We call our bodies whole because you've made the way for them to be whole. It's by your stripes. So we thank you that we are healed by those stripes, and we give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen. 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 We'll be blessed.